In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. I am Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 22.
22. Double 11. Still not old enough to get a price cut on our car insurance, but still old enough to drink. Welcome to episode 22. For us, it's only been a few minutes. I spent some time cracking up William with a particular cat video, which if I remember, a week from now, I will put in the show notes as well.
It was rather humorous.
It had him laughing. So this means I'm still sick, for those of you who remember from last week. So this sickness has lasted over a week. Can you believe it?
Of course, now, nobody can hear this podcast because your illness has become an epidemic that's wiped out most of the population of the Earth.
Maybe zombies.
Yeah, maybe zombies are listening. Maybe you as a zombie post it a week from now for other zombies to listen to. So, to all our zombie hard hats, keep listening.
That was kind of cool on your thing. I don't want to do that again.
And to all of those listening in who are looking for any hope of human survivors,
there is none.
There is none.
There really wasn't even before the zombie apocalypse.
No, so you might as well just put the guns away.
Chill out.
Yep. Join the fold, because, you know, after the first few seconds, it hurts a little bit, but then everything's fine.
It really is. And your sense of smell is the first thing to go, so that helps a lot.
You have no idea.
Whew.
I do think it's good for us to, you know, think ahead, make sure we capture that critical zombie demographic of the near future.
So, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, bringing you all the brains you can stand. That sounds so disingenuous to me.
Well, we're projecting, you know, maybe when we're actually doing shows and then posting them that night, they'll sound better.
Yes. In the bomb shelter. I was expecting in our last episode to hear some thunder or something, because there's supposed to be some thunderstorming tonight.
Well,
and for once, hope it holds off. The weather always says, oh, there's going to be thunderstorms. Chance of precipitation, 20%. And I'm like, so there's really not going to be thunderstorms. But this time it got really exciting. Chance of precipitation, 55%. So I'm like, for once, the odds are slightly better that it's going to thunderstorm
than not.
You know,
they only put those percentages in for the bookies. You're not supposed to pay attention.
You can bet on the weather
sure,
in Vegas.
There's a point spread.
What are the odds? Yeah. Thunderstorms are paying off 5-1 tonight. I lost all my money. I bet it on hail. It was terrible.
It's just for the bookies. Ignore it.
Oh, my goodness. So, William, what did you do this weekend? I know there's something, because when last we left our heroes, William purposely didn't tell us about something to save it for this week. Dun, dun, dun.
This is going to be so anticlimactic.
Is this not what you, like, ate a sandwich?
No. I played Portal, the original.
Oh, the original.
And what's kind of unusual about it is, for a long time now, when I talk about my experience with games, it's usually I'm not actually playing them. Someone else is, and I'm watching. Yeah. But I actually played it myself.
Did you beat it?
On my computer, which I hate playing games on my computer, but that's how I had it. It was downloaded from Steam on my computer. And, yes, I actually played the whole thing through. I did, you know, someone was watching me, so I did get some help sometimes, but I was really surprised how many times I'd go into a level and just go, oh, okay, I need to do this, and then go. But I found it very enjoyable. It wasn't so challenging as to really annoy me, because sometimes when the video game gets too hard, I get annoyed. Because, like, why am I playing a game to be annoyed? I could be annoyed in traffic. I could be annoyed watching the news. Play a game to have fun. But it wasn't boring. It was just challenging enough not to be boring, but not so challenging that I got annoyed with it. And I really enjoyed it. And now we have Portal 2 on PS3, so...
You wanted to play it on your computer.
Well, I'm not going to play it. I'm going to watch someone else play it. And we're going to go through the single-player mode first, and then we'll play cooperative after.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah,
we
yeah.
both play, which will be fun.
Well, William, this was a triumph. No, I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overestimate or to overstate my satisfaction.
Satisfaction, yes. Well, you know, like I said, it wasn't always easy, but you know what you learn playing this game is there's no use crying over every mistake.
You just keep on trying. Till you run out of cake.
Till you run out of cake, right, because that's when you know you're done.
And you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive.
No, I found it very enjoyable. Probably one of the more enjoyable games I've played in a very long time.
And I haven't played it, and I can't play it, because I'll throw up.
I didn't, you know, and I usually have that problem, and I didn't.
Mm. But, I can't do first person. But I have the song on my iPod. I love the song.
Yeah, it's a very good song.
I have a song. There's also, because you know it's by Jonathan Colton.
Yeah, and you have the character Gladys singing it. Not
yes,
Jonathan.
But there is a version that is Jonathan Colton singing it as well. But no, I have Gladys singing it.
And, you know, I've known the song, and I've known, you know,
the plot.
Yeah, the plot. I mean,
you said in air quotes.
Unfortunately.
Air quotes on an audio podcast are awesome.
Yeah, I wish I'd almost hadn't known, because I think it would have been a little more interesting.
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
But
you'd be like, where the fuck is my cake?
But even so, it is a little bit different experience hearing the song now. I don't know why. It's weird, because I don't really know. I mean, in terms of just basic knowledge, I don't really know more now than I did before. But somehow playing the game, you know, and actually doing some of the things she talks about, you know,
even though you broke my heart and killed me.
Yeah, into pieces and threw me into fire. And you know,
as they burned, it hurt because I was so happy for you.
All right. Well, and you know that's going to happen. You know, so you don't, there's no revelation there, but actually doing it somehow does change how you experience it.
Because now she's singing to you.
Yeah, you feel like it. She's singing it to you.
Coming for you.
And then when
you're dead, she will still be alive.
And then when Portal 2 starts and she's talking to you and you've come back and she's telling you how much of a horrible person you are. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I am a horrible person because I actually did those things.
There you go.
So it's interesting. I didn't really expect that. I thought, well, you know, I'll play it because it'll be fun to play and I won't get all the good stuff out of it that most people do, but I think I kind of did.
Aww.
Yeah.
The more you know in terms of plot spoilers. Dum, 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 dum.
So, yeah, that was the other thing that I did that might be of some interest, among other things that wouldn't be. So.
I don't remember what you said last week, which was an hour ago, but this was way more interesting.
Well, it was just, so we just talked about Sarah and Steven.
Oh, yeah, no, this is way more interesting than that. I mean,
but, you know, I might...
Old friends getting together is one thing, but video games.
I might, and I have Bioshock, and I have
Bioshock Half, 2.
Half-Life.
Oh.
So I might play those, I don't know. The whole Bioshock concept really fascinates me, but I've just never, I don't know, I've never played it. Well, because it's on my computer and I don't like playing that way, but I might now, since I've played one game that way and it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Have you played Bioshock?
No, again.
Well,
throw up.
But you, oh, that, well, that's right.
I can't do first version.
Yeah, and again, I usually can't either. I'm really surprised I did it. But do you know the premise behind
Bioshock? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, I look all of them up because I'll never be able to play them. So I look up all the plots.
Oh, you might as well, yeah.
And I read up the plot of Bioshock, of both the Half-Lives, Half-Liveses, of all the Halo ones for the same reason, because I couldn't do them.
Well, when I'm watching someone else play first person, I usually have to sit farther away from the TV, and I can usually be okay, but sometimes even that doesn't work. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
I'm thinking I'm going to pick up a game called Bastion, Bastion, is a downloadable one off the 360. That's a standard sort of RPG, but the whole premise apparently makes it very cool, because it's like the whole world has been wiped out, and all the things you do, like your actions, create the world anew. But apparently it's just really awesome, so I'm going to check that out.
Never even heard of it.
It's fairly new.
Well, you know, Portal is like...
Bless me.
Is like 4 years old. I mean, really behind the times and actually playing it.
Half-Life is from the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Or wait, no, sorry. Half-Life's basically from the turn of the millennium. Because basically right after I graduated.
So yeah, I'm really behind the times in playing many of these games. But Portal 2 is relatively new, so that's cool. But yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot. What about you? Anything that you didn't mention just an hour ago?
Yes!
This has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters in your area, in cooperation with the FCC and other local authorities, have conducted this test in order to keep you informed in the event of an actual emergency. Okay, go ahead.
It's actually local, state, and federal authorities.
Okay, right. You're right.
No, I did. Remember, we started a new season of Project Runway.
That's good.
Oh my god, it's insane. I, as a rule, do not like reality television. There are a couple of exceptions, a couple of very, very few exceptions, but one of the long-standing ones is Project Runway. Because Project Runway is the original, and there's a bunch of shows that try and take off from that. And oh my god, I'm scared for this season. I think somebody's going to stab somebody. There's this one crazy chick already. I think she's going to stab somebody.
Yeah, but how do you know that it's not just an act? I mean, how do you know the person isn't really, you know... Are they really crazy?
It's a bit of a mix.
Or are they just know that if they act crazy, they get a lot of screen time and a lot of notoriety?
She might not end up later, because that's the thing, is a lot of them say things and then later they won't. Which has me nervous, because I've already picked out like my favorites, and I'm worried that they're going to turn all nasty. But we'll have to see. Last season, season 8, was extremely emotional.
Season 8?
Yes, this is season 9 now, yes.
Whoa. Seriously?
Yes!
This is the 9th season
of Project Runway. And I started watching in, like, the second or third, I think.
I'm sure we have some listeners who enjoy the show, and no offense to them, but I just have to say, I think the world's going to hell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why? Like you, for example, what's the big deal? Why?
It appeals to a very, very shallow, snarky side of me.
Is there a reality show called Teen Mom?
There's several.
Ugh.
There's one called 16 and Pregnant. There's one called Teen Mom.
What?
Yep. And...
Oh, man.
Here's the thing. Those shows essentially are supposed to be just documentaries, basically. But here's the thing. There are now girls out there who are attempting to get pregnant to be on those shows. Because the girls who have been on those shows have been afforded a certain level of celebrity.
Well, yeah.
And so, literally, there are people whose like open and active plan, these like 15-year-old girls, is to get pregnant and then be on these shows. See? So my little fashion designer bitch fest doesn't seem nearly so terrible now, does it?
Yep, it does.
Oh.
Wait a minute. I've heard of some other ones, too, that I thought people were just making it up. But that was probably the big one.
That is a pretty big one.
Teen Moms. Ugh.
Yep.
Now, I've seen, like, I'm over at someone else's house, and they'll be watching, which one have I seen? I've seen the ones where people losing weight.
Oh, Biggest Loser, and there's a different...
Yeah, and this
Celebrity Fit Club.
No, this was, I think I've seen some of The Biggest Loser, but also the other one is Makeover.
Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition.
Weight Loss Edition. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Now, when I've seen these things, they've actually been really interesting because, you know, the theme always is trying to help a person understand what they're actually capable of. You know, they all these limitations that they give themselves, and I think a lot of people can learn valuable lessons from that. And if other reality TV did something like that, I could see its value. But so far as I know, those are the only reality TV shows that do that.
Well, I also think you're giving them too much credit.
Giving them? What do you mean?
I think the whole thing is manufactured so that you go, oh, look, and now they learned about themselves.
And you can tell that part of it is that. But part of it can't be because you can see them making these excuses for themselves. You can see them pushing past what limitations they thought they have. You can see them realizing what they're capable of, and then you can see them actually lose weight. I mean, although I know that sometimes they cheat and they don't tell the viewer that, but you know what I mean. You know, they give them a surgery or something, but
you heard it here first, folks. William advocates Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition.
No, I don't,
the
actually.
The only truly beautiful and real reality show out there.
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if a reality show was actually showing something about reality, and I think there is that piece of reality in some of those shows, I think there's something valuable in that. But I don't think most reality shows are misnamed because these people aren't acting.
No, and they've actually had specials about how unreal they are. It's the Jerry Springer show writ large.
Well, yeah, I couldn't understand that show's appeal either.
Appealing to your baser instincts. It's watching people baser do instincts. Terrible, terrible things, and you can feel good about yourself because you're not that bad.
Except you're getting a little kick out of it, so yes. Doesn't that sort of put you on the same level? I mean,
yes, but you don't acknowledge
it. Oh, I see. There's a little bit of denial going on.
It's all Schadenfreude.
Okay, well.
The whole point. Well, I told you about Campus PD, right? This is my other reality show I like. Campus PD is awesome. Campus PD, it's like Cops. And my wife used to watch Cops, and so I would watch Cops sometimes because it was in the room. And I watch it sometimes, get into it. But in general, I feel bad about Cops because Cops is the story of people whose lives already suck and just watching them suck more.
Mostly poor people.
You've been addicted to crack for 30 years, and we're watching you get busted again. That's just sad, you know?
Yeah.
Campus PD is college students who have everything going for them who are just stupid and screw themselves up by doing the dumbest thing.
I know, isn't that awful?
It's awesome!
Don't you get embarrassed kind of for them and you think, oh, I don't
know.
No, watch this.
I'm just like, you dumbass! I would.
It seems like justice to you.
It is amazing how many young people, women specifically, who believe that a cop cannot touch you or it's assault.
Who thinks that?
All these women on the show, all these college students, they're like, you can't touch me. Get your hands on me. Assault. It's awesome.
That's interesting. Well. Yeah, and you're saying that you can watch this for how many seasons has that been on?
I don't know. I only recently discovered it because I saw things for it originally and I was like, it's Cops, but with college kids, what do I care? But then I ended up watching it because I was home.
I don't know.
Or something. I was like, oh my God, this is hilarious.
It just makes me feel sad for some reason.
That's because you care.
Like I'm on a sinking ship.
But me, I don't care. I don't know how much longer I live. I don't have no kids.
Of course, you know, I'm making this podcast with you. I mean, what?
Talk about an anchor.
Yeah.
Dragging down society 1 hour at a time.
I know. We're doing a podcast while Rome burns. That seems to be.
And in fact, if you recall a few episodes ago, we gave some plans on how best to get into jail.
Yep.
We're terrible people.
I guess we are. Oh, well.
Yep.
I guess we should pull something out of the hat.
Yep.
Bless you.
Bless me. Thank you. Okay, pull something out of the hat so we can continue to degrade society.
Are we going to have people complaining about your emissions?
I hope so. We had them complain about my singing. I'm sick, people. I have to burp when I'm sick. Or I could die.
Craig.
I believe that's Craig Dovey from Scotland, but I don't know for sure. It could be Craig Ferguson. Originally also from Scotland.
Well, Craig's been on the show before.
Yes.
Welcome back, Craig.
Could be comedian Craig Bierko, but I don't think that's true either.
Dear TMTH, with the space shuttle's new... with space shuttles now retired, where now for space exploration? And would Tony William or the Hat volunteer to be an astronaut? Oh.
Where now for space exploration? Space hasn't moved.
Where in
it's space? Still there.
Come on, you know what he means. Don't be no, like that.
Where from here, you mean?
Yeah.
Aren't we all going to hitch a ride on some Russian ones or something?
I don't know.
Other people have really gotten into this. I have not. I've been amazed by how much I am not fazed by the fact that we don't use the space shuttle no more. Other people have really been moved by this.
I think the next... Well, I don't know what to say about this, really.
Explain to me, though. Explain to me, everybody all getting sad and freaked out about this.
Well, because I don't think people have very much confidence, or maybe they don't know. Well, I guess it's altogether a matter of confidence in what the future of the space program is. You know, it isn't like we've retired the shuttles because we're using something else now. You know, there's something else that's going up there at the same time, but we had a few shuttle. It's like, you know, you quit your job before you have another one lined up kind of deal.
Yeah, but there are still things going up there.
Yes, and again, I think there are some, well...
I think this is what it is for me, is I would be sad if everybody stopped sending stuff into space. Mm-hmm. But I guess I don't have the national tie to the, like, it has to be an American ship going up there at this point. Because, to me, it is one of the very big sort of global community things at this point. America's not going up into space. Earth is going up into space at this point.
Well, right, but...
I don't think of there as being a space race between the nations now.
No, and I'm sure there's some nationalist sentiment involved there, but some people, it's not so much that. It's that, well, if America's future in space is in question or is going to be scaled back or whatever, well, what can we expect from the rest of the planet? Because I think most people have the idea that the United States, for all of its, you know, qualities as a world superpower or whatever, is in the best position to push space exploration and to lead space exploration. If the United States isn't doing that, yeah, other nations are doing it, but, you know, are they going to do it as quickly and as I don't know what. I mean, a lot of people just think that the United States is in the best position to lead this thing, and as when the leader sits down, they kind of worry. I'm not particularly worried about it.
Well, they have it lined up, don't they? Like, they know what's going up in the next X number of years, and...
Well, again, I think a lot of people aren't sure until it happens. You know, you don't know when budget cuts are going to come and NASA's going to get cut, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was true before.
Yeah.
And the truth is, the shuttle was a pretty crappy spacecraft.
Well, right, it was true before, but... As I said, if we already had a new spacecraft built and using it, that would be something else. Yeah. But, you know, there's been debate in the, you know, in sort of the, what do you call it, space exploration community about what the best approach would be to future space exploration. Of course, people like the late Carl Sagan and several other people have always said, well, you know, let's just send unmanned, you know, probes and stuff out. We don't need to send manned whatever. Missions. But a lot of people aren't satisfied with that. A lot of people, you know, they'd like to see us get a colony on the moon and then maybe on Mars or something. And, you know, so to answer your question, Craig, where I think where I think it's going, if it goes anywhere, you know, providing some budget cuts don't come or something like that, I think there's going to be some pressure on NASA from, you know, the popular...
mechanics?
No, from voters, let's say. I mean, you know, NASA, scientists are going to tell them, I think, because I think scientists generally agree, we don't really need to be spending all of that money on manned missions to places. We can explore our entire solar system without manned missions. We don't have to risk lives. We don't have to, it's more expensive to send people. But the taxpayers who are footing the bill for all this, well, they want to see people living on the moon. They want to see people living on Mars, and that's the kind of thing probably that they're going to end up having pressure to do. And of course, presidents for a long time have been talking about Mars since we landed on the moon. As far as whether or not anyone in this room, including the hat, would volunteer to be an astronaut, I suppose you wouldn't, Tony.
Hat wouldn't volunteer. Hat's not. Hat don't talk. I would totally volunteer, like, if it could happen. Like, there are a huge list of reasons why I could never go into space. Most of them physical and health-wise. Hmm. And I don't mean just the fact that I'm grossly overweight. Like, you could fix that one. But there's all sorts of other things wrong with me that I would not be a viable candidate to go into space. If somebody's just like, sure, what the hell? And could send me into space at this point where, like, I'm still, you know, on a list of less than 100 people ever or whatever. Yeah, totally. Because whatever I'm doing up there would probably be vastly more significant than anything else I've ever done or will done in my life. So, yeah, if we could just make it happen, yeah. But if they say, oh, sign up now, we're sending people, I'm not going to bother. Now, the hat doesn't talk, doesn't get a vote, and I don't think has any life support requirements, and could just email us back.
Sure, why not?
Via magic. So the hat would be an awesome choice.
Yeah. I used to, you know, when I heard of...
Did Billy want to be an astronaut when he growed up?
No. When I...
Did you watch The Right Stuff over and over and Space Camp?
Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I was reading a lot of articles about Mars and what people were thinking their plans for Mars would be, and I thought, wow, that all sounds really cool, and I'd love to be part of that. But there's no way I could, you know, sometimes I can't even drive my car across town without getting motion sickness, so there's just no way I'd be able to do the whole weightless thing or the whole... however many G's you have to endure trying to escape Earth's gravity or anything like that.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't if I wanted to, but...
But if I somehow could... I don't know, if there was a pill I could take or if someone could say, oh, I know what your problem is, and they fix some inner ear thing I've got that would fix all those problems, yeah, I would... There's no question about it. I would go. Even if it were a one-way trip to Mars, I'd probably go.
Yeah, you would. We'd all make sure you got on that one.
It's kind of weird to think that, but I think that's true. Although, it kind of depends. Of course, there are people here who I wouldn't want to leave behind and who I wouldn't leave behind for anything. But if they could come with me...
But there's a lot of people who I would love to leave behind.
You know, taking that out of the equation...
Also...
Yeah, definitely go.
Neither of us would ever go. Because then we couldn't do the podcast anymore. For you lovely people.
Well, if we both went, we could.
Yeah, I'm not going to Mars with you.
Oh, okay.
I can barely stand you on Earth.
Well, but, you know, it would be difficult to do it with someone on the moon. The moon would be cool to live there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I could handle that.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. But,
play a lot of golf. Apparently that's what they do.
I think the draw for me would be... I mean, you're in a whole different place, you know, and there's... I don't know, it's just...
Look up in the sky, see Earth. That'd be kind of freaky.
Yeah, but I mean, all rules of where you've been are out the window.
You know,
and you can just completely do something different. You know, providing whatever you want to do doesn't put a hole in the dome that you're living in or whatever.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That's one rule.
We should have thought that through.
Yeah, that's one rule we have to abide by there, but.
Let's have cannons on the moon. That'll be fun. Ah, damn it, boy.
I like that question. I thought that was nice.
I didn't like that question, but I don't like anything.
I pretty much like them all. Why do I even bother to
even
say
like that
question?
Tennis one from last week?
Oh, it was entertaining, I guess.
Really?
But I do have to say I liked Craig's better than that one, than the tennis one.
You heard it here first, people. William likes space better than tennis.
Tennis in space. That might be interesting.
Oh, useless trivia man.
Wow, it's been a while.
I think this might be an old one. We'll have to see. This might have been digested a bit. I'm not sure. Gamacon 2012. Why should we be excited about this? And how many Happy Midwest members can we get to attend? Signed, Useless Trivia Man. Okay, this is the kind of question that isn't going to make a lot of sense to a lot of people. Useless Trivia Man lives in the Midwest near here, near where we are. He's talking about Gamacon next year, not this year. Gamacon is a gaming convention in Indiana, I believe. And his reference to Happy Midwest members, I believe, are Happy Jacks listeners who live in the Midwest. A number which has been growing. I've been working on it. I've gotten some people who listen to this to listen to Happy Jacks. And Johnny. Johnny started listening to Happy Jacks.
Really?
Yes, just the other day.
I didn't even know he was into...
He and I have had this discussion 2 years running. And I'm like, you really need to listen to this and you should get a hold of me and all this. And this year he actually did it.
Wow.
So, Gamacon 2012. Why should we be excited? I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't even know what it was until Tony just explained it, so I
would like to go. I mean, I'm always excited about conventions, but I can almost never manage the money.
Yeah,
2012 might be more feasible, but now that I have a job and things, but I don't know. I think it would be cool to go. I mean, I haven't been to conventions in a long time. And Gamacon's a big one. That's the neat thing. Gamacon is a big convention that is near here. Unless he's talking about the Iowa City Gamacon. There's a Gamacon that's a small gaming convention in Iowa City every year. Maybe he's talking about that one. And I couldn't tell you what's exciting about that one. I've never been. But y'all could come. I mean, it's not that far, and I might go next year.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's not a lot to add about that one.
No, I don't have anything to say about it at all.
So, thanks for your question.
I hope you can get a lot of people to attend, because it sounds like that's important to you.
Go! Useless Jerry Man.
Who's that at the door?
What?
I'm not going to answer it.
No, I don't think it's a good idea. Scared the cats, too. But who is that at the door?
I don't.
I'm going to look at...
The hat is messing with us. Who's that at the door? And then there's a knock at the door. No way. I'm not answering it. You didn't order pizza, did you?
I did not this time.
Well, then forget it.
We had Emilio's.
Nope, not going to do it.
No.
Forget it.
Go away. We're recording a podcast. Oh, shit. Let's be quiet. And they won't think we're here.
Should we shut the light off?
No, I got the curtain. Shh.
Do you think they're gone?
I don't know. Do you hear any knock? Okay, I think we're okay. I think we can go on to a new question.
See that stupid hat?
Hey, it's right here.
Do you think? Yeah, but I've got a rabbit's foot.
Oh.
Granny gave me one. You know, and it's not one of those stupid rabbit's feet that you buy, like, I don't know.
It's like blue?
Yeah. You know, you have to, first of all, it's got to be the right kind of rabbit. You've got to kill it the right time of year, cut the foot off at the right time of the day.
Which foot is it? Like, can you get four out of the rabbit?
Well, I don't know all the rules. Granny knows all that.
I've always wondered this, though. Can you get four rabbit's feet out of a rabbit?
I don't know. But
that seems like a good deal.
Well, she just gave me this
and
one.
And you could eat the rest.
But I think it'll keep me safe from the hat. But do you think the hat did this, or do you think someone actually submitted this?
Is it signed?
No. I think the hat's just messing
with it. It might be the hat, then.
I don't think a person submitted this at all. I think the hat knew someone was going to knock on the door. a Jehovah's Witness or something. No offense against Jehovah's
Witnesses.
A
very angry Jehovah's Witness from the sound of that.
And did this to freak us out.
Could be, which means we've been saying the hat doesn't talk. Apparently the hat can talk in Post-its.
Oh, well, unless maybe. Well, if you're the person that submitted this, tell us for a little peace of mind, but I think the hat's messing with us. Well, either way, it's messing with us, right? Because even if someone did submit this, it specifically
picked
this
it
one.
Picked, yes.
Okay, that's really freaking me out. I hope that person
doesn't. Don't open the door.
I hope that person doesn't come back.
No.
Should we call the police?
What are we going to say? Somebody knocked at the door?
Oh.
And we think it was sent by a magical hat?
You're right.
That'd be weird. Besides, I already drew a new question.
I just feel creeped out.
Well, it's locked.
No, it isn't.
Well, lock it.
Oh. There.
Okay. Now we're safe. Nobody can break through that.
Stupid hat.
Okay, I got a new question. Also anonymous. It says, the question's coming from inside the house! No.
Hey, don't do that to me. Oh, that was mean.
No, I know. Have you met me? Ugh. Okay. What it says is, should we, in parentheses, the U.S., have tried harder to convert to the metric system? Yes. For two reasons. One, it would be much more helpful now if we had. And two, I don't think we really tried very much at all, so I think it would be good. And I feel really weird in this midway point, where, like, most stuff is still imperial measurements, but then we have, like, 2-liter bottles of soda and stuff.
Why did we give up anyway?
It's
very
weird.
I was in that group of kids where they were teaching it to us.
Well, I mean, I learned it, but not that we were going to use it. I learned it, apparently, in case I went to other countries.
Oh, no, no. We learned it as in, you got to learn this because this is what everything's going to.
Oh, you're
someday.
Old. Okay.
Yeah. That was very specific almost all through elementary school, as I recall. And then suddenly it stopped, and we weren't learning it at all. Not even well, other countries use it, so you need to learn it. Not learning it at all. Or science, right? Science uses it, you need to learn it.
Yeah, there we go.
No, we didn't learn it at all. And then, of course, in high school and college, it came back a little bit. But in elementary school, there was a time there where there were even little TV, like Schoolhouse Rock had metric stuff and little TV things, and but at some point late, I'd say 1980 maybe, it stopped completely and then didn't have anything in the metric system. And I think when I was in high school, I started to wonder what was up with that. And then in science classes, it sort of came back, and then it got to be what it is now, where you get both for some reason. And
yeah, it's messed up now. I don't like it. Well, I mean, I think it's the usual, you know, Americans don't like to change. And in general, people don't. I mean, you think we're schizoid with it. UK is really schizoid. Because they really just sort of have both, and it's very confusing.
Well, you know, for my dad, I remember when all this metric stuff was going on, and my father's big complaint was he'd buy a car or a tractor or whatever, and he couldn't use the tools that he had before.
Yeah,
he had to buy a whole new set of tools,
You still have to do that now. If you really are going to work on a lot of stuff,
yeah,
you need a set of metric and a set of standard.
And now my brothers all do. Yeah. But, you know, I wonder if, of course, industry at that time probably was complaining about having to retrofit all their stuff and redo all their standards and their documentation and everything to fit.
And it is difficult. You're talking about hundreds of millions of people in a country, and you're like, okay, now we're going to change how we measure everything.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's kind of freaky.
You know, cars at that time were held together with lots of nuts and bolts that were of a particular size. And, you know, that would be huge to suddenly make cars that were metric in their dimensions.
And you would suddenly change all the nutrition information and nobody would be able to understand it.
Right, right.
Change all the street signs and road signs everywhere.
Yeah,
in the whole country.
And the only people really being educated in it were the kids.
Yep.
Who were fine with it, but they weren't going to be voting on it. Yeah, they weren't going to be affected by the, like you were saying, the road signs and everything else.
Change all the cookbooks.
As far as, you know, should we have tried harder, I'm too young to know how hard we really tried. But I do agree with you, I guess, that
I would have liked it.
I think we would be better off now if we'd gone through the pains of doing it. I think it makes more sense, obviously, you know, and whatever. But
yeah,
we didn't, and I think all the problems that prevented us from doing it then are still true now, so I don't see it changing any day soon.
But that's okay, because we're going to go to Mars, and on Mars, we have the metric system, damn it.
Oh, yeah, we surely will.
We call it the Martian system there.
I can't wait to go.
I can't wait for you to go.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm taking the hat with me.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm not.
I didn't think you were.
We don't get along. This is from Anonymous. Discuss famous, iconic advertising campaigns. Must have sounded like while being pitched. Oh, what they would must have sounded like. Sound like.
It is with TV shows sometimes, what that must have sounded like being pitched. With advertising campaigns, it's harder.
Okay, like, probably a big famous one now is the one with Mayhem, the Allstate commercials. Those are pretty...
Those are pretty good. Trish really likes... Because have you seen the new ones now? That aren't... They're not him anymore. It's just the guy who was the president on the first season of 24. The calm, reassuring black guy. Talking about how Allstate will protect you from mayhem. And there's no reference to him. But you've seen these commercials. So when he says it, you think back to this guy. It's very... It's a very cool sort of...
So I imagine how... What would that have sounded like being pitched? All right, so... here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a personification of mayhem.
What's a personification? I'm playing...
No, you're right, you're right. I can't use... Well, mayhem's going to be a person. Like, you know, when something happens to you that's chaotic and bad, like you crash your car, or more to the point, like let's say someone is talking on the phone and they stop short, or they do something stupid in traffic that causes an accident. Well, mayhem is that person on the phone. Picture it.
Okay, I'm picturing a person on the phone.
Okay, but mayhem is talking to you, saying something like, I'm this teenager who's texting and not paying attention to where she's going. But, you know, it's like a middle-aged guy who's talking and, yeah, see, this doesn't sound right at all.
You should have, like, started with the deer one, I think. Or the deer would have been safer.
The deer, or the...
What's the one where he falls off the roof?
The raccoon one is really good. That's right. You should start with those.
Don't start with the one where it's an actual person.
But that's the first ones were when he was an actual person. Like, that was the earliest concept, wasn't it? Maybe not.
I don't know. See, they really sort of threw them all out at once. So.
Now, this says famous or iconic. It doesn't necessarily mean successful. Because yes. I've often seen an ad that I think is just really... What were they thinking? Like, any ad today... that is a spin-off or a copying of the Apple PC stuff. What are these people thinking? And some of them are like some cell phone company, right?
AT&T and T-Mobile.
Yeah.
I just think it's weird that they got themselves like a younger little Catherine Zeta-Jones-ish thing. Because it's so creepy because she's so clearly supposed to be that spokesperson, and she's so clearly not, and that weirds me out. But yeah, those kind of suck.
It just seems like a dumb... What? I mean,
yeah.
What were they... How was that pitched? You go in, you say, okay, we got this great idea. Basically, PC and Apple. Right? Right? Yeah, that's a great commercial, right? And we could just do that.
Except, but we don't sell apples.
Except AT&T and T-Mobile. They'd be perfect.
Oh.
And you know, this beautiful
Can
woman.
We get Justin Long and... John Hodgman?
No. Different people, like a beautiful woman and a dude. But it's perfect. I mean, if I were being pitched that, the first thing I'd say is, I'm paying you thousands of dollars to just rip off somebody else's idea. I mean, why would someone go along with that?
Okay. Here's the setup.
These people are making a lot of money, and we're not. Yes, yes. That's what I get.
Here's the setup. We have a tub of margarine. Okay? And people eat the margarine, they say this is really good margarine, but the margarine insists that it's butter. The margarine talks, like the lid opens up and is the butter.
Was that what it's actually going to sound like?
Is it butter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, kind of like that ventriloquist guy and
exactly
yeah, yeah.
Butter. And he's going to be arguing with them the whole time they're eating him.
Yeah.
And then when they finally admit that he's butter, he's going to be like, ha, fuck you, I'm not. Or
can get that past the censors.
Or he just says the brand name then. He goes, Barkay.
Ah, very clever. Yeah. That, you know, the Muppets and stuff and the ventriloquists, their kids are into that. Okay, I got a good one for you.
Yeah.
I got a good one for you. So, like, you... The character in the commercial is Mother Nature.
Okay.
And
okay.
You offer her some margarine, but you tell her it's butter.
Okay.
And she tries it, and Mother Nature herself thinks it's butter.
The whole of Mother Nature. Okay.
Yeah, because butter comes from nature, you know, so she should be able to tell, right?
Well, you'd think she'd see the cows.
And she herself thinks it's butter, so that would be really impressive. And maybe at the end you can do some funny little thing where you
she might be mad.
And she says something about, you know, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Something like that at the end.
But, you know, you get the idea.
Yes.
Or how about, ooh, I got another good one.
Wait a minute.
Okay. To get people to buy this stuff, you put in a glass and fizzes and makes them feel better after they drink it. Let's invent this little guy, this little marionette puppet. And we'll call him Speedy, because when you drink this stuff, you feel better right away.
I don't even know this one. What's this one?
Alka-Seltzer.
Had a little guy named Speedy?
It had a little guy named Speedy, and his hat was like an Alka-Seltzer tablet. And then he sang the little plop-plop fizz-fizz, whatever it is, into
your stomach?
No, he just sang the little jingle. It was like black and white and everything.
Have you seen, there's these recent ladies shaver commercials?
No, let's not talk about that.
Have you seen the thing?
No, let's not talk about that.
I just couldn't even believe. I'm like, I'm getting too old or something, because I didn't think this should be on TV. I was amazed.
Yeah, well, there are worse things, but I'm not going to talk about them on the air. I recently run into worse things that involve women and personal stuff, and I was so amazed and shocked and dismayed.
Oh, wait, I think AV Club talked about this one a little bit. I haven't seen
it. I don't even want to think about it.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a mother and a daughter, and they're walking down the beach, you know, like moms and daughters do.
Oh, yeah, because it's
and
sweet.
And they're just talking, and so. And the daughter turns to the mother and says, hey, Mom. She says, yes, honey. She says, do you ever feel... you know, not so fresh.
Oh, God. I don't want to make these kinds of commercials. Just get him out of here. Have him talk to somebody else.
But wait. But how did...
I don't
know. No, that's the thing. You know that was like an 8-hour session of figuring out how they were going to phrase
it. Yeah, I know. Well, like toilet paper commercials. What about those? Okay. I mean, how do you ever even broach that topic?
So we have this guy. And he's obsessed with squeezing the toilet paper.
Seriously, because it's so soft.
It's like a disorder for
him.
Like
yes.
He can't help himself.
Right.
Seriously, he's lost his job and his wife. All he does is squeeze toilet paper all day.
What's his name?
And then, I don't know, Mr. Wimpy.
Whipple.
There we go.
Mr. Whipple.
Whipple.
Ooh,
okay.
That's a great name for a guy that likes to squeeze
and he does
toilet
this,
paper.
And after that, it basically becomes a Trix commercial, because basically children steal it from him.
Oh, hey, I got an idea for you.
What?
Let's have a rabbit who likes cereal.
God.
And let's have a rabbit who likes cereal.
Who likes cereal, which is perfectly fine.
But then the kids want to take it
but
away because he's a
rabbit. Steal it from him all the time, because rabbits shouldn't apparently eat the cereal. And those fucking kids, why couldn't they just let him have his cereal?
Oh, I got another one, Okay, so we want people to use the American Express traveler's checks because it's safer than cash. So what we do is we show someone getting robbed of their cash, and then we make it all, you know, tense and everything like a crime show, and then have some famous guy with a big nose come and talk about, you know, how all your cash has been stolen, you're on vacation. What will you do? and then we can go right. See?
You specifically think the nose was part of the pitch.
Well, I don't know.
You're a famous guy. We have with to, a big nose.
We have to prey on their fears.
Of noses.
Yes. What was that guy's name again? I don't even remember.
I keep wanting to say Leonard Maltin. No. Maltin? Was it Maltin? Streets of San Francisco. Michael Douglas and...
No. Don't know. You know what's great?
Carl Malden.
Yeah, that's right.
There we
you
go.
Know what's great is that if you're a toy maker, the commercials basically write themselves. So you
know. I don't know. Sometimes you though, need a pitch. It's the other way around. You have to invent the commercial, and then people can make a TV show. Oh, which reminds me, I watched the new Thundercats this week.
The new Thundercats.
Yeah, they're doing a new Thundercats, They just started it. The pilot this week.
How is it?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I like it.
We'll check it out.
I
was not a huge fan of the original Thundercats. But...
I was, and then I tried to watch it as an adult, and wow, it got old real fast.
So I don't think you can fully appreciate what, you know, when most of the cartoons you enjoyed when you were a kid were sort of after my time.
Because you're old.
Well, but it was a definite, there was a definite change in cartoons. Like compared to the cartoons that I watched and the cartoons that the kids just behind me watched, and you know, Thundercats, Transformers, G.I. Joe. I mean, I'm still from the generation where I had a 12-inch G.I. Joe doll with a crew cut and everything. I mean, that's G.I. Joe to me. And this thing about G.I. Joe is a team of soldiers and all that weird
women
stuff.
Women involved and
well, yeah, whatever. That's very different. And then the Transformers are on there. There's just this whole...
Like He-Man.
And He-Man, too. Well, and the main thing about it is that I watched cartoons that didn't have any toys associated with them at all.
Wait, I don't understand.
Exactly.
Like, you just couldn't buy them in your store?
No.
Or...
No. The cartoons were created without a toy existing before it was created.
But
and
why did they make the cartoon?
Even
then?
After the cartoon was created, they might not make any toys.
In this country?
Anywhere. The cartoon was the cartoon, and its connection to toys was like, you know, like Scooby-Doo, for example, was created. There weren't toys that existed before it. And if you were a Scooby-Doo fan, you know, you'd be lucky if you could find a T-shirt with Scooby-Doo on it. You wouldn't find any toys.
That's dumb.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
How did they make any money?
But your generation, it seemed like all the great cartoons either had toys associated with them simultaneously or even before, and a few of them after, but right after. I mean, that was a big deal.
But that was the
big,
point.
Big
yeah.
part of it. I mean,
yeah,
all of
my,
them.
My childhood cartoons were by and large commercials.
Yeah. Which wasn't true for the cartoons that we watched. And the only exception maybe being the Smurfs, because there were those little collectible things.
Yeah.
But that was it.
I really don't think that was what the Smurfs was
no,
about.
No, no. All there were these little collectible things.
By
there
the way.
Plush toys or anything. Like
how
many,
shitty
anyway.
Does that movie look?
Well, I don't know.
I'm so I sad. I loved the Smurfs. I love Neil Patrick Harris, who's in it. I love Hank Azaria, who's Gargamel in it, and who does a great, like, I've seen clips of him. Looks good. The movie looks so awful.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, I could just stab myself in
it
the eyes.
It did really well.
No, it really did not, actually.
I thought the first weekend it beat... somebody else. Somebody.
It didn't beat anybody opening in that same bracket.
Oh.
I think it may have beat out Harry Potter after, like, its fourth week or whatever, but... no, and the reviews are kicking the crap out of it. The best reviews are, it's not that horrible. It is not going well for them.
Yeah, I just... it didn't seem like a very good idea, really.
No. Also, that Freaky Friday ripoff with Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman, apparently even worse than I expected. And as you may recall, I expected it to be pretty shitty.
Pretty bad. I wonder what those pitches were like.
Remember Freaky Friday? Actually, no, not even that. It was like, so, Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds.
Do it. Green light
there
that.
There we go.
Right now. Put it in the can.
Remember how you liked Smurfs as a kid?
Yeah.
We'll make it a movie.
Do it.
In 3D, maybe even.
Boy, we are on a roll.
Yes. Battleship. The game? I got Liam Neeson in the back room right now.
Oh, people love those.
Yeah,
people love movies based on games.
Yes.
Battleship. Was that the one?
With the aliens.
Okay, yeah, do
there
it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh. We should be advertising executives.
Or something.
Here, we got them.
So
we can pitch things great after they're out.
Cowboys
versus aliens.
Versus aliens.
That's the pitch. Oh, did you see it?
No, but I just can't.
I don't know if we're going to have time.
I can't wrap my brain around.
Meanwhile, apparently Rise of the Planet of the Apes, not that bad.
Well, I have high expectations for that one.
I didn't, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I saw Planet of the Apes.
With Marky Mark?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was awful.
Yeah.
This is ostensibly, a prequel for that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And that was a shitty movie.
Right, but Marky Mark's not in it, is he?
No, Marky Mark's not. I love Marky Mark, though.
Yeah, he's all
right. Dude, Mark Wahlberg's great. Actor. Wahlberg is not what screwed up that movie. That movie screwed up that movie.
I guess so.
No, James Franco's in this. What the fuck?
James Franco.
James Franco's in everything.
You got this thing about him.
I can't cope. But. Yeah, nowadays you don't get. Like, nowadays your pitches. Hey, remember that movie we made? We're going to do a sequel.
Do it.
Okay.
Green light. Next. Yes. I just love going through these files with you. It's just so easy.
This is so simple. You see this movie we made? We're going to make it again.
Do it.
Okay.
Oh, wait. And see this this film that's based on a best-selling juvenile fiction? We're going to make a movie out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Do it.
Wait. Did you just pitch me a movie based on a movie based on a juvenile fiction book?
I might have.
And I bought it.
I misspoke. But it's probably been done.
I bought it.
We'd be rich.
Based on the movie, based on the novel.
I suppose these days they have a philosophy that, well, you know, we're going to spend a whole bunch of money anyway. And usually something that really hits big will make up for the stuff that tanks. So kind of a shotgun approach, you know.
A little bit.
See what sticks.
It's just much more of a business these days. It's not what's going to be good. It's what's going to earn us money.
World's going to hell.
Oh, it is.
Straight to hell.
But season 9 of Project Runway is going to be awesome.
You're infected.
I am. We established that. I'm sick. We should probably wrap it up.
Okay, well, thanks Anon, Anon, Anon. Useless Trivia Man and Craig.
Wow. Not a lot of people in this episode.
Craig, that's not a very threatening sounding name, is it? I hope he's not like a warrior or something. I suppose.
Where did this come from?
I don't. I have no idea. It just occurred to me as I'm reading all this stuff out that ending with Craig sounds kind of. I don't know. Craig.
Are you saying his name sounds wimpy?
No, not wimpy. Just not. Not. You know, like.
And I quote, I hope he's not a warrior or something.
Well, but you don't, warriors, you don't have to be, it's just because you're not a warrior doesn't mean you're a wimp.
No, I just think it's weird that you're like, I hope he's not a warrior or something.
Like if he were maybe, Craig would be a good name for like, a perfectly good name for like a CEO or something. Or president even.
President Craig.
Or the host of a late night talk show.
I knew that was coming.
But.
William?
A sword-wielding berserker named Craig? I don't think so.
William, give me the shovel, William. Just give me the shovel.
What? I'm just saying. I'm sure Craig would agree with me.
Sorry, Craig. Sorry to other people who might happen to listen. If you would like to contribute to the show, you should feel encouraged to do so. Write the hat itself at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Write any kind of question or topic you want. We will pull it out randomly, and we will talk about it until we get bored. Also, if you want some more hat stuff going on, go to the blog. Look at the comments other people make. Make some comments of your own. It's a great time. It is at themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, if that's not enough for you, please go to Facebook and like us. We like you when you like us. Thank you.
And if you do all those things, and if you listen to every episode, like, minutes after it's posted, you too can become one of the few, the proud, the hard hats.
Yes. It's
a rigorous training exercise, but you can.
And
anyone, regardless of class, race, gender, sexual orientation, or species, even Canadians can become hardheads.
Yes, however, you do have to be very, very smart. So it is an elite group.
Yes.
You are special, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
Elite.
I'm about to break into everyone's a hero in their own way. you and you and mostly me and you. Okay, we have just gone over the hour, so please disregard the last hour or so and have a good time.
I'm scared to go out to my car because that person might still be out there.
We'll throw one of the cats out first.
Okay.
Okay.
Good idea.
Pick a cat.
Good night, everybody.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Ant Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.